Hey everyone, welcome back. Today we're doing a deep dive on something that impacts a lot of women, PCOS, polycystic ovary syndrome.
Definitely a topic worth diving into.
Whether you're personally dealing with it, know someone who is, or just curious, we've got some fascinating research to unpack. We'll be looking at the broader challenges in PCOS healthcare, and then something kind of surprising, a study on fish oil as a potential treatment.
Yeah, that one caught my eye too. You know, it's interesting you mentioned PCOS. A lot of people hear cysts on ovaries and think that's the whole story.
Right, like that's the defining feature.
But it's way more than that. PCOS is a hormonal disorder, and it throws things out of whack for a huge number of women, like 6 to 20%.
Wow, that many. Okay, so we're not talking about a small handful of people here. This is significant.
Exactly. And the thing is, it's not just about fertility, which is often the focus. PCOS impacts a woman's health throughout her life.
So it's not a temporary thing. It's something women might deal with for decades. What are the implications then beyond just fertility?
Well, that's where it gets really important and honestly a bit concerning. Because PCOS messes with your hormones, it has this ripple effect. So yeah, fertility is a big one, but it also ups the risk for things like obesity, diabetes, even heart disease.
Wow, those are some heavy hitters. We're talking about serious long-term health risks.
Exactly. And it doesn't stop there. Mental health is also affected. Women with PCOS often face higher rates of anxiety and depression. So understanding the full scope of this condition is really crucial, which is why we're doing this deep dive.
Absolutely. And speaking of things that are crucial, one of the studies we're looking at today found that it takes an average of over 4 years from the first symptom for a woman to get diagnosed with PCOS. 4 years. That's a really long time.
It is. And what's surprising is it's not because women aren't going to the doctor. The study actually found that 84% of women went to their doctor relatively early on, reporting classic PCOS symptoms like irregular periods, excess hair growth, you name it.
So they are seeking help, but they're not getting answers. Why is there such a delay in diagnosis then?
That's the concerning part. Often, those symptoms are treated in isolation without connecting the dots to PCOS.
Oh, I see. So it's like putting a Band-Aid on a bigger problem.
Exactly.
And of course, if you don't have a clear diagnosis, it impacts how you manage your health overall. And this is where the information gap comes into play, right? We see this theme in both studies.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. Both studies emphasized how crucial it is for women with PCOS to be well-informed. But the sad reality is almost 70% of women said they didn't get enough information about PCOS when they were diagnosed, especially about the long-term risks, like the diabetes and heart disease we talked about.
So not only are they dealing with this complex condition, but they're often left in the dark about what it really means for them. That's got to be incredibly frustrating.
It can be, because this lack of information has real consequences. Imagine trying to make important decisions about your health without the full picture. It can lead to so much unnecessary anxiety and potentially even worsen the condition.
Right, because if you don't know what you're dealing with, how can you make the best choices for your body? And that probably explains why the study found that 82% of women turned to the internet for information about PCOS.
Which, don't get me wrong, can be helpful to an extent, but it's a double-edged sword.
Totally. There's a lot of misinformation out there.
It's a minefield, and that just highlights how important it is to have a doctor who really listens, provides reliable information, and empowers you to make informed decisions. But unfortunately, the second study we looked at points out that even when women do get treatment, the advice they receive, especially on lifestyle management, which should be a cornerstone of PCOS care, is all over the place.
It's so important to have that consistent advice, especially when it comes to lifestyle changes. You'd think that would be a no-brainer for managing PCOS.
You'd think so, right? It really highlights how we need to move towards a more, I guess you could say, holistic approach to PCOS care. One that goes beyond just treating the symptoms in isolation.
So unpack that for us a bit. What does a more holistic approach to PCOS actually look like?
Well, it starts with understanding the root of the problem. PCOS is often linked to something called insulin resistance, which basically means your body's cells aren't responding to insulin as well as they should. And that can lead to a whole cascade of metabolic issues.
Right, like those increased risks of diabetes and heart disease that we talked about earlier.
Exactly. So while medications can be helpful for things like irregular periods or acne, those are really just addressing the symptoms. A holistic approach also tackles the underlying cause, in this case, insulin resistance, often through lifestyle interventions like diet and exercise.
Which brings us to that fascinating second study about fish oil as a potential treatment for PCOS. I'll admit, when I first saw that, I was like, fish oil? Really? So tell us more about this research. What's the connection there?
Yeah, I can see why that would raise an eyebrow or two. It's definitely not the first thing that comes to mind when you think about PCOS. And to be clear, this was a smaller pilot study, so we need more research to confirm the findings. But the results are interesting, to say the least. The study looked at whether high doses of omega-3 fatty acids, which you find in fish oil, could impact some of those metabolic factors we were just talking about, specifically triglycerides and ApoB remnants.
Okay, now you're just using big words. For those of us who haven't been studying our medical dictionaries, break it down for us. What are triglycerides and ApoB remnants?
Sure, sure. So triglycerides, those are a type of fat found in your blood. And having high triglycerides can significantly up your risk of heart disease.
Okay, so that's not good.
Definitely not. And ApoB remnants, think of them kind of like leftover fat particles that can also be harmful to your blood vessels. Basically, the higher these markers are, the greater the risk of developing heart problems down the line.
Okay, so high triglycerides, high ApoB remnants, bad news all around. So what did the study find? Did the fish oil actually help lower these markers?
It did. That's the interesting part. They saw a strong trend towards lower triglycerides and ApoB remnants in the women who took high-dose fish oil, even more so when they combined it with metformin, which is a medication commonly used for PCOS.
So it sounds promising.
It really does. Now, they'll be the first to admit that the findings weren't statistically significant, probably due to the small size of the study. But even so, the reduction they saw in those markers was pretty remarkable. We're talking a 15% to 40% decrease.
Wow, those are some impressive numbers. I mean, that suggests that fish oil could be a really valuable tool for managing the metabolic aspects of PCOS, especially given that link to heart disease.
Exactly. And while more research is definitely needed, I think this study just goes to show you how important it is to be open to exploring all avenues for managing PCOS, even the ones that might seem a little unorthodox at first glance.
Absolutely. But before we get too caught up in the excitement of potential new treatments, you did mention that the study also highlighted the critical role of those lifestyle changes we were talking about.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, they found that even losing a small amount of weight led to significant improvements in those metabolic markers, which just goes to show you how powerful those lifestyle changes can be. It really reinforces that this needs to be a cornerstone of PCOS care, no matter what other treatments are being explored.
So it sounds like we need to be thinking about a multi-pronged approach, addressing those underlying causes while also managing the individual symptoms. But how do we actually make that happen? How do we move beyond just talking about holistic care and actually make it a reality for the millions of women living with PCOS?
That is the million-dollar question, isn't it? And it's where the insights from both of these studies become so important. Remember how they both emphasize the need for better education, especially for healthcare providers?
Right. They were saying particularly general practitioners.
Exactly, because they're often the first point of contact for women experiencing these symptoms, so they play a really crucial role in early diagnosis and intervention.
Which makes you wonder, is part of the problem that medical education itself isn't putting enough emphasis on these lifestyle interventions?
That's a really good point. I mean, we need to make sure that healthcare providers really understand PCOS, not just the basics, but the long-term health implications and the importance of those early interventions, including lifestyle changes, to prevent those more serious conditions from developing down the line.
And it's not just about having the knowledge, right? It's about having the resources and support to actually implement those lifestyle changes effectively. I mean, let's be real. Making significant changes to your diet, your exercise routine, your whole lifestyle, that's tough. Especially if you feel like you're doing it on your own.
Oh, absolutely. It can be incredibly overwhelming. And that's why access to things like registered dietitians, certified diabetes educators, mental health professionals, all of those resources are essential for providing truly well-rounded support.
So it's not just about one doctor's appointment. It's about having a whole team behind you.
Exactly. It's about moving away from those separate silos in healthcare and moving towards a more integrated approach where all of these different specialists, your GP, your endocrinologist, your dietitian, they're all working together, communicating with each other to provide truly comprehensive care.
I love that idea. It's like having a dream team of healthcare providers all dedicated to supporting you on your PCOS journey. But that also means rethinking how our healthcare system operates.
It does. And that's a much larger conversation, one that involves advocating for systemic change. But it's not just a top-down approach. Empowering women with PCOS to become advocates for their own WN health is equally crucial.
So what does that look like? What can women listening to this do to be more effective advocates for their own health?
Well, first and foremost, it's about arming yourself with information. The more you know about PCOS, about the symptoms, the long-term risks, the treatment options, the better equipped you'll be to ask the right questions, advocate for your needs, and make informed decisions about your care.
Knowledge is power, as they say.
Exactly. And it's not just about passively receiving information. It's about actively seeking it out, whether that's through credible online resources, support groups, or by having open and honest conversations with your healthcare providers.
That's so true. Feeling informed makes a huge difference. But even when you're armed with knowledge, it can still be intimidating to navigate the healthcare system, especially when you're dealing with something as complex as PCOS. So let's get practical. What advice do you have for our listeners who are trying to find the right care for their PCOS? What are some things they should keep in mind?
It's definitely a journey, and it can be really overwhelming, especially at first. I think one of the most important things is to find a healthcare provider who truly listens to you, someone who takes your concerns seriously, doesn't brush you off, and is really knowledgeable about PCOS. And this might take some time, right?
It's not always love at first appointment with a new doctor.
Exactly. Don't be afraid to ask for referrals, whether that's from friends, family, other healthcare providers you trust.
Yeah, word of mouth can be so helpful.
Absolutely. And then when you do meet with a potential doctor, you want to come prepared.
Yeah.
Ask about their experience with PCOS, their approach to treatment, how they like to work with their patients.
So it's okay to kind of interview them a little bit?
Absolutely. It's your health. You want to make sure you're comfortable with this person.
Makes sense. Now, what about those times when you're already seeing a doctor, but you still feel like your concerns aren't being heard or you're not getting the information you need? It can be so intimidating to advocate for yourself, especially in a healthcare setting.
Oh, I totally get it. It can feel really daunting. But remember, this is your body, your health. You have every right to speak up and advocate for your needs. One thing I recommend is to organize your thoughts before your appointment. Like, actually jot down a list of your symptoms, anything you've researched, any questions you have.
So you don't go in there and your mind goes blank.
Exactly. Because it's so easy to get flustered in the moment.
Yeah.
And then if you feel like you're not being heard, don't be afraid to politely but firmly reiterate your concerns. You can say something like, I understand your perspective, but I still feel strongly that we need to explore this further.
That's a good one. I'm writing that down.
Write it down. And then honestly, if despite your best efforts, you're still not getting the care you need, remember that seeking a second opinion is always an option. It's not about being difficult. It's about being proactive and advocating for the best possible care for yourself.
Yes. And we talked about support systems earlier. Don't underestimate the power of that. Let those close to you know what you're going through, how they can support you. Sometimes just having someone to listen without judgment can make all the difference in the world. And then, of course, those online and in-person support groups, those can be amazing resources, too.
Absolutely. It's so important to connect with others who truly understand what you're going through, to share experiences, vent frustrations, offer support, you name it.
Because you're not alone in this journey. And as we wrap up this deep dive, I think that's a really important message to remember. If you're struggling with PCOS, please know that there are resources available, there is support to be found, and there is always hope.
Couldn't have said it better myself. And never underestimate the power of knowledge. The more you understand about PCOS, the better equipped you'll be to navigate the challenges, advocate for your needs, and live a full and healthy life.
That's a perfect note to end on. Thank you so much for joining us for this deep dive into PCOS. We hope you found this information empowering and helpful. Until next time, take care.